We've got a good crowd tonight, and we want to thank everyone for being here. Tonight our lesson is about laziness. Well, Christians are to be energetic workers, and the Bible commands that we use our time wisely. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, we see where Paul said, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time," that is, using our time wisely in God's service. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly," or that is, walking carefully, knowing the hazards, spiritual hazards that are around us. He says, "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So we live in an evil period of time. So we must use great care as we go through our walk in life. Christians are to be the best, most productive employees. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, Paul said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 8, Paul said, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." So as employees, we're to be diligent workers, because we'll be held into account by Jesus on the last great day. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, Paul says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus." Then in Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Titus said, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord shall receive of the reward the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus." Well, Christians must never be lazy. Paul condemned this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6. He says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly." He went on to explain that those who would not work didn't deserve to eat. He said, "Withdraw from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition or the apostolic commandments which he had delivered unto them, and that they had received from the apostles." He said, "For yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither do we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." Then in verse 10 through 13, he said, "For even hereunto, when we were with you, this we command you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." Well, there are a number of good quotes regarding hard work from those that we're familiar with, or some of us might not be familiar with all these, but I'm just going to read a few of them. But Vince Lombardi, he said this. He said, "The only place success comes before work is in the dictionary." Think about that. He was a coach for the Green Bay Packers a number of years ago. Mike Ditka, he was a coach for the Chicago Bears, thank you. He says, "You're never a loser until you quit trying. True, isn't it? George Herman Babe Ruth said, it's hard to beat a person who never gives up. Again, Vince Lombardi said, hard work is the price we must pay for success. Ben Hogan, a golfer, said, if you can't outplay them, outwork them. Ann Landers said, nobody ever drowned in his own sweat. That is, working and working up a sweat. Thomas Jefferson said, I am a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it. Abraham Lincoln said, things may come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle. Michael Jordan said, I can accept failure. Anyone fails at something, but I cannot accept not trying. And Jimmy Johnson, the football coach, said the difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. A little extra. Laziness. As we define laziness, it comes from a Greek or Hebrew word, atzel, translated sluggard or lazy. It's from number 610 in Strong's dictionary, meaning indolent, slothful, or sluggard. This word is found in 14 verses in the King James Version, only in Proverbs, though. It's found in all these verses right here in Proverbs, so we'll look at them. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, Solomon said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. An ant is always busy, so he's directing the sluggard to look at the example of the ant as they work. Then in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, and sluggard is often translated lazy now in the New King James. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, he says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, or lazy man? When wilt thou rise out of the sleep? In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, Solomon said, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so the sluggard is to them that sin him. So the one who's a sluggard is usually, as vinegar makes our teeth on edge and burns our eyes, so when one sends a sluggard to do a job, he doesn't do it properly. He regrets sending him. It's nothing but pain to the person who sent him. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, Solomon said, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So the one who is a worker, the one who's diligently working, will have that which he needs, but the sluggard will have nothing. He'll desire what the one who works has. See? In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 9, he said, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns, but the way of righteousness is made plain. So the slothful man makes trouble for himself. His way through life is always with difficulty. And so, I can relate to this. When I've been hunting in Arkansas, getting some briars, and it's hard to get through those. You come out all scratched up. It's not an easy walk, so I change my path and go around that, go a different way. That's the way of the slothful man. He makes trouble for himself. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24, he says, the slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth. He's so lazy that he won't even feed himself. He's trifling lazy. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, the text says that the sluggard will not plow by reason of cold, therefore he shall beg in the harvest and have nothing. So he's too lazy to go out and plant like the diligent man. And when harvest comes, he has nothing. He's a beggar. In Proverbs 21, verse 25, the desire of the slothful man killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He desires what the diligent man has. That kills him when he sees those who have it, and he doesn't have it because they worked harder, see. He kills himself by not working. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. He's always making excuses for going out and doing what he should do. In Proverbs 24, verse 30, Solomon said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So he saw that field in need of work, and the slothful man didn't take care of his field, and it's an illustration of his slothfulness. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 through 16, the text says, "There the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As a door turneth upon the hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." See, such a man, as described here, lacks good sense. He does not make good and proper decisions. He cannot make up his mind to do what is needed or what is important. His focus is on things unimportant, things that will not sustain him. So who is guilty of laziness? Who is it? Well, those who desire to do nothing. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, Solomon said, "The soul of the sluggard desires, but he has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fast." In Proverbs 19, verse 24, Solomon said, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, will not so much as bring it to the mouth, he's too lazy to feed himself." He's lazy to go out and provide for his own. In Proverbs 21, verse 25, again, he said, "The desire of the slothful man killeth him, his hands refuse to labor." He's so lazy that he will not work and causes his own problems. Then those who make excuses for not doing what is needful. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13, Solomon said, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets." He makes all sorts of excuses to not work. He spends more time trying to get out of work than he does working or finding work. Again, Proverbs 26, 13 through 16, he said, "The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than the seven men that can render a reason." See, those who neglect what is important and are busy with trivial activities are guilty of laziness. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, he said, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing." So he doesn't do and take the opportunity to plant when the time is right, and therefore he will not reap any harvest. Then those waiting for the church or elders to tell them what to do. Again, Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11. Solomon said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide, overseer or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Got a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." So what's wrong with this man? What's wrong with the sluggard? You know, the book of Proverbs paints a clear picture of this man, that he has no energy, no drive, no concern to do what he should do to provide for himself. Number one, he's lazy. He lives in poverty due to his own laziness. He's so lazy he will not even bring his fork to his mouth to eat. He desires the things that the working man has, yet is unwilling to work for it himself. In Proverbs 13, verse 4, Solomon said, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fast." See, he wants everyone to give him sustenance. He wants things for no work. He wants a handout. He also is slothful, and that his work is a bother to him. That is He wants everyone to give him sustenance. He wants things for no work. And in Proverbs 18, verse 19, Solomon said, "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." See, he's hungry because he has no money to buy food. In Proverbs 19, verse 15, Solomon says, "Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He the sluggard thereby chooses a life of trouble." In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19, Solomon said, "The way of the slothful man is as the hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain." So what are the causes of laziness? What are those causes? Something we can consider. See, the lazy man puts off till tomorrow what can be done today. But tomorrow never comes to the lazy man. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, Solomon said, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." See, the lazy do not have a work hard ethic, and they're willing to let someone else do it. You ever known somebody like that? You've had people that you've worked with where they just wouldn't work hard, they just sit around and watch everybody else work. They work watching people work. They work getting out of work. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14, Solomon said, "As the door turns upon the hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hides his hand in his bosom, it grieves him to bring it to his mouth. The sluggard is wise in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." See verse 14. Talks about the sluggard. He's depicted as being so lazy that that his movements are limited to those upon his bed as he rolls back and forth across his bed, refuses to get up to go to work. Slothfulness, laziness, sleeping are all connected together throughout the Proverbs. In Proverbs 20, verse 12 and 13, Solomon said, "The hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread." So when you get up and go to work and do what you should be doing, then you'll be satisfied. You'll be provided not only by the work that you do, but God will provide for you. Then in verse 15, he said, "The sloth will hide his hand in his bosom and grieve him to bring it again to his mouth." Or, he's one who's so sleepy, lethargic, apathetic to life in general that he can scarcely lift his hand to his mouth to eat. Then in verse 16 of that same passage, "So the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason." Young's little translation reads, "Wiser is the slothful in his own eyes than seven men returning a reason." So the foolish, the slothful, and the simple think, and so they act. Such a one is unable to identify wrong or foolishness in his own life. They point the finger to everyone else. They blame everyone for their misery. They identify everyone else as the weak. They think they are the true intellectuals when they are the foolish and deceived. They can only complain about all those who are supervisors, executives, and business owners. See, the sluggard will not venture out to get training or attempts to start a business or find work. He just wants to sit back and see others' failures and talk about how ignorant they are while all the time he has nothing for himself, nothing that he has derived from hard work. And people like that remind me of everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. You ever heard of that? Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. See, everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody were all neighbors in a community. These four fellows worshipped at the same congregation, but they were unlike you and me, for they were more mature in their judgments. Everybody was out of town most Sundays, visiting relatives, and somebody, a real sport, usually went fishing, hiking, hunting, or golfing. Anybody could have gone to the worship services, but he thought he wouldn't be really missed since nobody would be there. So nobody went to the church services. One day, one of the elders needed a teacher for one of the Bible classes. Everybody thought somebody would teach the class, and somebody thought anybody could do the teaching. So they wound up with nobody teaching the class. It seems that nobody was the only decent chap among them. Nobody did the work when everybody didn't, and when somebody wouldn't, and when anybody couldn't. One day, an unbeliever moved to the community. Everybody honestly believed somebody would teach him. Somebody thought anybody could, while anybody thought everybody had already talked to the man, so nobody talked to him. Years went by, and these four chaps, everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody, died and went to meet their maker. Care to guess who finally went to heaven? Anybody care to guess? That's right, nobody. See? When people sit around, have to be told what to do, can't think on their own, and not willing to take up the torch and run with it, this is what you get. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. See, laziness leads to bitter consequences. We had a bulletin article here recently. It talked about the bitter consequences of laziness. See, laziness leads to waste and want, doesn't it? In Proverbs 27, verse 27, Solomon said, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in honey, but diligence is the man's precious possession." See, the diligent man will roast what he takes in honey. He will be diligent about what he does. See, the lazy man will not finish the job that he is assigned to do. And many of our valuable possessions require diligent upkeep, but laziness will cause these things to fall apart when they're neglected. See, laziness leads to hunger. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15, Solomon said, "Laziness casts one to a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Paul told those in Thessalonica that if any would not work, neither should they eat. But because of kindness of others, many are given something to eat, those that are too lazy to work. Now, laziness leads to poverty and depravity. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13, he says, "Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, you'll be satisfied with bread." So man has to make a living, he has to get up, work diligently, and rather than hitting the snooze alarm of life, he needs to get out of the bed and go do the work that he's assigned to do. Laziness will lead to mental and spiritual collapse. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, says, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness, the hands of the house leaks." So we all know that if we don't tend to our house, our car, whatever, we don't do the proper maintenance on it, that it'll fall apart eventually. What about your faith, though? Never thought about that. What about maintaining your faith by diligent study, by being obedient to God's command to worship and to be present at every assembly and every Bible class? See, we're maintaining our faith when we do that. See, laziness leads to frustration and envy. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, he said, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." Now, many people want to have things, but the lazy man has desires, but he's not willing to work to provide and get those desires. He wants them handed to him. See, he could enjoy the things the diligent man enjoys, but he chose to be lazy rather than work and to earn the money to fulfill the desires that he may have. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, Solomon said, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." You know, many who are lazy are envious of those who work hard. And that's wrong, too. Laziness also leads to a ruined reputation. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs chapter 24, beginning at verse 30, he said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown with thorns and thistles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. So what did he understand? He understood that the man who owned this field was lazy. He didn't care. He was slothful. He said, get a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. See, this field was a monument to the man's own laziness. And then laziness will lead to being detestable to God. We read Proverbs 26, or 10, verse 26. We said, as vinegar is to the teeth, so is smoke to the eyes. And smoke hurts your eyes. Vinegar hurts your teeth. So is a sluggard to him that sinneth. So when a sluggard is told to go do a job, he won't do it. It's painful to the one he's sending out to do the work. He has to go and have somebody else redo it. Ever heard of something like that going on? Seven bitter consequences. There's a lot more you can add, but that's enough to consider right now. What the lazy person must do. See, the lazy person must realize their sinful condition, repent of laziness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, Paul said, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth, make manifest his light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If we consider the rich, or the man who was given the one talent, how was he described? And the man that had five talents gained another five. The man that was given two talents gained another two. But the man that was given one talent went out and buried his talent. He was lazy. And when his God came and reckoned with him, he said, you wicked and lazy servant, or slothful servant. And in verse 30, he said that he will cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That ought to scare all of us. It shows that the Lord despises laziness. See, the lazy need to develop a hard work ethic and provide for your own. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul said, for even here and see where we're with you, this we command thee, that any that would not work, neither should ye. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybody. So they need to go out and work. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Paul said, but if any provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So one is so lazy, he won't provide for his own family. He's worse than an infidel, worse than an unbeliever in God's sight. And that's not a good feeling to be called or looked at that way by the Lord. You need to wake to righteousness and serve the Lord and those that are dependent upon you with all diligence. James said in James chapter 2, verse 22. James said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So when we look in God's word, which is a mirror of the soul, the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of the soul, when we see a need for correction, we need to make that correction. The lazy man needs to wake up, be diligent, go to work. Quit being lazy. That's the lesson on laziness. Always we like to provide an opportunity for anyone to respond to the Lord's invitation. Alien sinners, as we know, must hear the gospel, believe what they hear, repent of their sins, confess Christ, and be baptized in water for the remission of sins. And Aaron children of God must repent and pray. Perhaps the thought of their heart might be forgiven. And we know that God has assured us that if we repent of our sins, if we say or if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. And Christians must be faithful unto death and live a faithful life in Christ in order to expect to receive that crown that's been promised to us. So if there's anyone here tonight who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, we do. I bid you do so as together we stand and sing. Shall we stand while we sing?